Good day, everyone. Welcome to the Online Life Coach Show, where I make my listeners understand that everything you are going through is preparing you for what you asked for. For those who don't know me, I'm Jacques Fillion. I'm a social media influencer. Life threw me a huge curveball after a big accident that left me paralyzed. So everything's a challenge. But I got to the realization that I'm created to create content to influence and guide my audience to enjoy every second of their lives. Feel free to go and subscribe on my website, jacquesfillion.com. I'm not so big on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I rather spend some time on my own website where different topics about everyday life is available through any search engine, rather than limited to friends and followers on a social media platform. You can like and subscribe, and you are more than welcome to send me a mail on lifecoach@jacquesfillion.com, or if you use the Anchor app, by the way, if you don't have it downloaded, you can find the link on my website on the podcast page, and you can join in the conversation by leaving a voice note that I'll use in my next show, or give some feedback on a specific subject or even a topic suggestion you'd like me to discuss in some future episodes. This is part two of how to emotionally detach yourself and get control over your emotions. Like I mentioned on the previous episode, I wrote this article, or rather blog, in 2011. And up to today, I get feedback and I get mails and forms to ask for more information, to give more advice on this specific topic. And I love the thank you mails and messages I receive to thank me that this technique that I developed, call it developed, actually assisted people and they got out of abusive relationship or get rid of abusers in life. The first technique is to make yourself solely responsible for your own well-being and happiness. Catch yourself when you begin to utter, "If only he or she could, if only he or she would." Stop it, it's not going to work. It's language of regret and pipe dreams. Keeping you in a beaten down and depressive state makes it easier for negativity to control you. Be the candle in a dark room. Light conquers everything and anything. Not so experienced predators don't target the swiftest and strongest zebra in the herd. You catching what I'm saying about the predators? I'm talking about wildlife, not big five. Part of the big life, talking about lions who won't target the strongest zebra in the herd. They'll go for the weakest one, the one with a limp and sore foot, sore leg, usually becomes the lion's lunch. Take back the control you gave to the person over your feelings. Take back the control you gave the person over your happiness and well-being, and start meeting your own needs by making different choices and acting on them. The second technique is to accept that you can't fix, change, rescue, save, make someone else happy, or love someone enough to make them be nice to you. Wrap your brain around the fact that no matter what you do, it will never be good enough for your abuser. Your abuser always wants something more, something that you can't offer, that's not in your DNA. Don't go that extent, because someone is supposed to accept you. I can't use the word unconditionally, because only God, your source, the universe, has unconditional love. There's always conditions to any relationship, but understand that no matter how much you do, it won't be enough for this person. Acknowledge that the more you appraise, compromise, and forget your own needs, the more entitled, demanding, and ungrateful the person will be. It's like the Iraqi war. You throwing good energy after bad with no victory or end in sight. The third detachment technique is to eliminate the hooks. Now, hook sounds weird. If I think about hook, I think of a fishing hook. You know, with those teeth that you can't really get away from. You can't remove the hook. Well, a hook is a typical emotional and psychological stake that you have in another person or in the relationship. For example, guilt. Guilt is a huge hook that keeps many people in abusive relationships with destructive, narcissistic, borderline, what can I call it? Borderline psychopathic partners. It sounds terrible. Jeez, it sounds like I'm really putting the second or the abuser down. But ultimately, we need to get out of abusive relationships. Stuff through go your head like, I don't know how he will take care of himself. Or, what would he do without me? I'd feel guilty if I left because of the kids. Well, wake up call. Sometimes your kids are better off being raised by a single parent than being raised in an abusive house. So, you know, overthink that bit if you are married with kids or if you have a partner with kids. You can leave scars, deep scars, in a child's life when the child are exposed to all these abusive patterns. The flip side of guilt is ego, and that's in capital letters, ego. If you leave an abusive person, I hate to break to you, but they'll do just fine without you. Or maybe you already left the person, and they are fine without you. They are really coping. They'll probably try to suck you dry financially while lining up the next target to control and abuse, because that's part of their personalities. That's how they operate. That's how they love. That's how they do their thing in life. I wonder if it's a way of living. I'll think about that. Maybe we've got another episode of a podcast of egocentric, narcissistic abusers. These personalities view others as objects to be used. They'll simply replace you, or maybe they already have another object, and do the same damn thing to the next person. Guilt is a control device people use to keep you in line. Other hooks include shame. For example, failing or not being strong enough. Loss of status, being perceived as a nice or good guy or girl. The loss of material assets or access to your kids. perfectionism and your own need to control others, situations and outcomes. You know what? You just have to play the game, right? And you won't have a loss of any of these above mentioned stuff. I think the most important thing is to keep your kids on your side and not with the abusive parent or partner. The fourth technique is a very important technique, and that's to learn to control your body language. If you're still facing the abuser or still have contact with your ex-partner or spouse because of, for example, children, your body language and facial expressions can betray what you are feeling and thinking on the inside without saying a word. The whole exercise, the whole episode, the whole podcast is about detaching yourself from your abuser. That means you still have feelings. You are actually still into this person, but you just came to a realization that you can't keep up with this person's abuse anymore. That's why you are bailing this relationship. It doesn't matter if your abuser is yelling at you. Seeing the pain flicker in your eyes, your face whinge, and your shoulders slump. It's enough body language to tell this person, okay, well, I'm still in control. What I suggest, what I did in the past, is I stood in front of a mirror and think of some of the nastiest and most hurtful things that person or someone has done to you. Maintain eye contact and practice a calm, blank facial expression or a knowing, slightly amused smile. That always works. Practice slow, steady, and relaxed breathing. Lower the tone of your voice. Higher pitched voices reveals anxiety and agitation. Your shoulders, arms, and hands should hang loose. Keep practicing a relaxed posture and detach your body language until you actually feel a difference and unruffled by the person's barbs, jabs, and eye rolls, and swearing words, and their offensive body language. In other words, fake it till you make it. You decided to not have this person in your life anymore, so swallow the 5 or 10 minutes you have to spend with this person for whatever reason, and just make sure you carry yourself in a very strong manner. And I can tell you now, you'll ace this if you exercise in front of the mirror, watching yourself in the eye, and think of all these things. Think of this person's reaction. You'll ace it. The fifth technique is to lower your expectations. Past relationship, or if you'd like to move on and not become a monogamous old fart, lower your expectations. Easy as that. Don't expect too much from people in life, because you will only set yourself up for disappointment. I usually encourage people to expect the best from others and to create positive, self-fulfilling prophecies. However, expecting the best from an abusive person will result in you feeling broadsided, disappointed, and you will be hurt most of the time when you are around this person. For all the abuser's crocodile tears and hypersensitivity, abusive, borderline, sociopathic behavior, they are emotional predators and bullies. If you stay in the relationship, the best you can expect is more of the same. It will carry on. It won't stop. You may achieve some periods of peace, and that's only if you learn not to trigger him or her. What can I call it? If you don't trigger their abusive outbursts. There we go. Remember, an abuser is not responsible for his or her behavior. You, the victim, will always be responsible for their behavior and your behavior and all the other problems in the universe creates their abusive episodes. You'll always get the blame. Happiness reflects the difference between what you expect versus what you actually get in life. So if you keep expecting good things to happen, but they never do, or take a turn for the worst, you will suffer constant unhappiness, and that's not what you want in life. You want happiness. Stay away from abusers. If you see on your first date, in week one, in month one, that this person's got abusive tendencies, think very carefully. Think twice. Sit down, speak to your friends, listen to self-help podcasts, read books, get more information, and see if you are willing to get involved with a person with these abusive traits, if I can call it that. Your partner probably has significant character pathology and is unlikely to change. That's the problem. Once those outbursts starts, I always give it 3-month margin. It won't stop. Therefore, keep your expectations for certain behaviors very low, but continue to believe that you will be okay once you remove yourself from the situation, or stop giving the power to hurt you. Stop giving the abuser the power to hurt you if you have to stay in the relationship. I'm not even going to go into my past where I know people who has to stay in an abusive relationship because of various reasons. And believe me, if you think deep, those reasons are legit reasons. So just know that I'm not making you wrong. I'm not making the victims wrong when I talk about emotional detachment. I'm just trying to assist. Like this last point, lower your expectations. It will make the whole situation so much easier and bearable. Try to monitor, and I don't say play the person, but try to monitor and bear with it if you have to stay in the situation. But else, if you find a gap, run. Technique number 6. Do something that removes you from the abuse and centers you. Meditate, or whatever your version of meditation is. Reading, walking, woodwork, painting, music. I love to write. I love to be creative, do creative videos, some graphic design. And of course, I love my job, so I will do whatever I feel like to just get myself in a better space in my head. Not that I'm in an abusive relationship, but you know, if you feel a bit down, if you feel okay, I'm riding a bad patch at this stage of my life, go for it. Meditate, or whatever your version of meditation is. Find pockets of sanity and safety with friends or family or physical spaces like your office, the gym, the pub, social or professional organizations. Like I had my favorite spot, my safe space, and that was on Rabeck, where the accident happened. Exactly that spot. So you can just imagine the race in my mind, because I'm trying to teach other people, and this happened in my safe space, my pocket of sanity. Find activities that will take you out of the line of fire and minimize your exposure to the person and the abuse. It's actually terrible because you are running from home, from your, which is supposed to be your safe space. Find a hobby or activity that makes you feel good about yourself and restores your confidence and esteem. As I've mentioned, you can be single after a hurtful relationship, but the pathology and emotional scars are visible, and you live those scars. There's so many things that triggers those scars to surface. You can relate to the point, even if you've been living single for years, you still have these patterns and thoughts running through your mind. So, do something nice for yourself that removes you from the abuse or pathology of abuse and centers you. The seventh technique, it's actually not a technique, it's like that light at the end of the tunnel. See the big picture in capital letters. And don't get distracted by the person's shit. There's no other word. Don't get distracted by the person's shit, because you know what your move's going to be. So the ultimate goal is to not let the person's past abusive behavior affect you, whether in reality or in your mind. By detaching, you are taking back the power that you own. It's your power. And that's the thing. Your power is basically an emotion, something that makes you feel good. So take it back and make it your own. These new behaviors will take time for you to learn and perfect. It takes a while to develop indifference. It runs counter to the fundamental beliefs about love and relationships. However, if you are in a relationship with someone who's verbally and or physically abusive and attacks you, devalues you, make you feel less than what example? I always like to use examples. Less than you are supposed to be, because I mean, you are created by a very powerful source and you are supposed to be the best. You are the best. If I say supposed to be, I'm talking about in the relationship scenario. you must learn how to make yourself less vulnerable and eventually immune to the person. Abusive personalities have no soul, only ego, and they will destroy your soul if you let them. So, bottom line and last few words, get out of a relationship as fast as you can. Please, because I've seen destroyed people, people that's got nothing left. It's like they are just an empty shell because of abuse. Don't let it happen to you. It nearly happened to me, and thank God, I'm so grateful and thankful that my source got me out of the situation. So please, you owe it to yourself. You live once, and you're an awesome creature. God does not create crap stuff in life. You are awesome, and you will find someone awesome to share your life with. You will find someone awesome to be the stepdad of your kids, if you've got kids. So please, don't let it happen to you. And thank you for listening to episode 2 of Emotional Detachment Techniques. Remember that you can leave me a voice message if you've got the Anchor app. Write me a mail at lifecoach@jacquefillion.com, and give me topics, give me something you guys struggle with, and I will sit and I'll ponder about it, I'll do some research, and I will give you some feedback on how to handle this. I'm very blessed to be able to assist other people, because I believe I've got a direct line to my source, God. And I get so much guidance that it's just not, it's not even true. People won't believe the kind of guidance I get if I start to talk about it. Okay, everyone, till the next episode. Love all of you. Stay strong. Cheers. Bye.